Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Two Off the First. It is January the 6th, 2025. I'm Ryan Ballengee. Thanks for being here today. We've got plenty to talk about. We've got some late breaking news just before we came on today. And we'll start with that, and then we're going to get into everything that happened over the course of the weekend at the Century. We'll talk about Hideki Matsuyama's performance. We're going to talk about TGL's premiere coming up tomorrow. And then we're going to talk about Taylor Pendrith's freakish ability to apparently make albatrosses. We'll end the show with that. Thanks for being here. We're presented by Swannies. Check them out at swannies.co. Use the promo code GolfNewsNet25 and save 25% off your first order. Let's start with Scottie Scheffler. Like I said, just before we came on today, was an announcement in his Instagram story. He is not going to be playing in the American Express. That was intended to be his first tournament back after the surgery that he had on his right hand to remove broken glass that got lodged in there after having some kind of Christmas meal prep incident. I mean, we don't have all the details about that, but basically some kind of glass shards got in his hand. And in removing them, they didn't get them all the way out. So he had to have surgery to have them removed from his right hand. And when he talked about that, his agent talked about that in the statement, said, hey, there'd be a 3 to 4 week recovery time. And in that 3 to 4 week recovery time, then he should be 100%. Well, that left a little leeway there, even though he said, hey, my intended next start is the American Express. That 3 to 4 week period basically made it possible that if he wasn't on the 3 week side of that, he was looking at missing the American Express, and that turned out to be the case. So to his Instagram story we go, and he said in his Instagram story on one of those blank back-rattling statements that we get these days, knowing that we're going to talk about it anyway, quote, after consulting with my medical team, I have made the decision to withdraw from next week's American Express tournament to give my injury more time to heal. I am still hopeful to begin my 2025 season at the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. Obviously, this is a bummer for the tournament. The American Express has benefited the last couple of years from having players like Scheffler and Jon Rahm when he was still on the PGA Tour. I mean, Patrick Cantlay come out and play. Going and playing the Century and then taking that Sony Open off and then coming back and starting the year on the mainland United States with the Amex. That's been a boon for the tournament. I mean, it has been very good for it. Now they're not going to have Scottie Scheffler. That's a bummer for them, obviously. That turns a tournament that could have had the world number one into it, a tournament that's definitely not going to have the world number one in it. So that's bad news anytime in an unfortunate set of circumstances. But it sounds like they're going to maximize the window available, get to Pebble Beach, get him in there, and then see where he's at in a signature event. It is a pretty chill event, all things considered. If you're going to start at a signature tournament, you probably want to pick, other than the Century, you're going to pick Pebble Beach because it's relaxed. It's a pro-am component. There's no cut, obviously. You've got the cordial nature of the pro-am piece of it, so he can ease himself back into things. At the time when this happened, I think a couple of people commented that the realistic possibility was that you could have this surgery mean some significant, not only damage to his schedule, but potentially to his form, because it could be a lingering thing. Your hands are obviously extremely important in golf. He has the best hands in the world in terms of approach play. I mean, he's an incredible player. And obviously, he's not the best putter there's ever been. So how does that feel in your hands when you're changing, when you're trying to deal with that? Just a personal anecdote. I'm obviously not the world number one golfer and have never been anything close to that. But in my freshman year of college, the University of Maryland, we had a number of tragedies, like right in a row. And one of those was a tornado that ultimately killed a few folks, unfortunately. And when the tornado happened, I saw it outside our dorm, fifth floor foyer. I'm like, hey, we got to go. I ran barefoot down the steps, and the tornado was basically right outside of our building. And the force of the tornado smashed a window, and I was running down. I didn't realize it at the time, but I wound up stepping in a piece of broken glass, and it stayed in my foot for weeks unnoticed. So there's a reason to have the surgery done. there is a potential outcome there, obviously, in a world where you use your hands, that could be bad. But obviously, you don't want like tetanus and all that type of stuff, the other complications that can come from it. So a fortunate situation for the American Express, but also a realistic thing that happens sometimes. So all the best to Scottie Scheffler as he gets ready for full recovery and gets ready for his season at the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. Now, to our regularly scheduled original set of topics. I want to break down everything that happened at the Century over the course of the weekend. First, let's start with Hideki Matsuyama winning, wins his 11th PGA Tour title, wins $3.6 million, 700 FedEx Cup points, and in the process sets a new PGA Tour record for 72-hole total against par in an event. Finished on 35 under par, which unto itself is incredible. I mean, I don't care what you think about it, and we'll get into this concept, but to reach 35 under in any tournament is remarkable. And I'm sure that they could do it if they played a 6,200-yard golf course that we would play as a, you know, a muni week to week if they did that. And still, that's pretty incredible with PGA Tour pin placements, PGA Tour green speeds, PGA Tour setup. I don't care what the par is. That's a remarkable achievement. And I think it also tells you a little something about how the best golfers in the world handle a place that's a par 73, for one. This is the only par 73 on the PGA Tour. But also how people at this skill level handle golf courses that are resort courses. And that's the one thing that comes up consistently in the criticism of this course. You know, it's so wide open. It's so easy. It's right in the title. It's a resort. It's a resort course. It's meant to be easy. It's meant to be accessible for every one of us if you've got the $500-ish to go play it these days, to have a good time, whether it's calm, as it was for a lot of the week, or whether it's quite windy and you get a cone of wind or whatever, and it's 40 miles per hour in your face half the time and 40 miles downwind the other half of the time. That's what this is built for. And the wind that they got on Thursday was pretty substantial. It made scoring a little bit trickier. You didn't really get that the rest of the week. In fact, it died down pretty much the rest of the way on a consistent basis. So you were going to get good scoring. I think the over-under for the week, if I saw it right from the folks at the Westgate out in Vegas, I think it was like 29 under par, 30 under par. So, I mean, they knew. They had an idea that scoring could be like this. The only hiccup was going to be Thursday. Obviously, that didn't happen. Hideki played great. I thought that was incredible to get to that number. Again, we've seen 34 under. That was Cam Smith in 22. John Rahm was just shy of that. Then you had 32 under from Colin Morikawa this week. You had Matt Jones at 32 under in that 2022 event. Interestingly enough, a lot of the people have this mark of close to being the scoring record against par are on LIV Golf these days between Rahm, Cam Smith, and Matt Jones. But now you've got that belonging to Hideki Matsuyama. So I think a remarkable achievement. The reality is, though, that Kapalua's plantation course is a par 68. You've got to shoot 68 every day just to kind of be in the middle of the field. And I think people kind of lose sight of that a lot when they look at the scorecard and go, oh, this place is a joke. It's 7,600 yards, par 73, and they're just destroying it. Par is nothing but a construct. I've said this many times over the years, but I think it's really important to underscore to people who kind of look at the outcome, the minus whatever number, go, oh my God, that's not necessary. This is a par 68 golf course for players on the PGA Tour. Just like Bryson DeChambeau used to say and got raked over the coals for saying Augusta National to him is a par 67 golf course. This really is a par 68 golf course for players on the PGA Tour. They expect on the average to shoot 68, maybe a little higher than that with 68.6 on Sunday. But that's what you're looking at to have really any kind of chance. So if you know what the expected scoring average is, and that's usually what it is here, it's somewhere in the 68, 69 range, then you know what par really is, what real par is. And that's what strokes gained is based off of. That's what adjusted scoring average is based off of. So that's a more realistic measure instead of these kind of eye-popping numbers. Still, nevertheless, had a great week, played tremendous golf. He looked in charge on Sunday, a couple different turning points. Hole out eagle, 16 was great. And he just kind of kept Colin Morikawa at arm's length, you know, the Heisman pose the whole time. And never really let him get all that close. Now, Morikawa could have gotten closer, but also Hideki probably could have gotten to 40 under par over the course of the week. He had something like 5 putts for birdie or better inside of 10 feet that he missed. So if he winds up making all of them, he's at 40 under par. And I can foresee a day where that happens, but I also can foresee a situation where the PGA Tour says, look, hey, that fifth hole that's really a par four for everybody, we're going to turn that into one of the longest par fours in the PGA Tour, one of the most difficult par fours in the PGA Tour. Make it a par 72. Whatever helps your brain to think about it, it's still a tremendous performance. And for Hideki, he now has 11 PGA Tour wins, extends his margin as the winningest Asian-born player in PGA Tour history over KJ Choi, now to 3 wins. He had a great year last year, won RIV, medaled at the Olympics, got a win here. Golf is more interesting when Hideki Matsuyama is a part of the mix, and now he is very much a part of it. And he's one of, I think, it's 6 players who have now won both PGA Tour events played in Hawaii. He's won the Sony Open, did that a few years back, and then obviously won this tournament this past weekend. So that's awesome stuff. Great way to start the year. If you're not going to have Scottie Scheffler there, and Xander Schauffele really was never part of the mix, that's probably one of the best available outcomes, other than maybe like Ludwig or Victor Hovland winning with a broken toe. I mean, obviously, Colin Morikawa winning would have been a nice story because he's been in 7th, I think, 5 straight times of playing this tournament, 7th or better, 5 straight times of playing this tournament. But his day is going to come on this golf course. He played very well also. So now the PGA Tour moves over to Honolulu, plays Wailea Country Club. I love the disparate differences between the first two events of the schedule. Even though they're both in the Aloha State, you've got Kapalua, wide open, par 73, tons of scoring, big fairways, big greens, little slow in places. Wailea is completely different. It is par 70, barely over 7,000 yards, small greens, small fairways, in course, out of bounds, a Seth Rayner design, very much a different golf course and one that rewards ball striking almost too much. I mean, if you look at the honor roll of champions from the last 10 years, 15 years, a lot of those guys were just ball strikers. They weren't the best putters in the world. They're great ball strikers who managed to make enough putts for that week. However, unfortunately, Grayson Murray is not here to defend the title. He took his own life last year, and I think there will be some somber tone leading into the tournament, trying to respect his memory, trying to respect what he accomplished last year in the playoff against Keegan Bradley and Ben Ahn. I hope that I expect that the kind of right things will be said and done by the PGA Tour and its players to honor his memory in a week where he should have been here to defend. He should have been available to celebrate what he accomplished last year. And he had accomplished a lot in his personal life as well. And unfortunately, that was ripped from him and from us. So I expect there to be a fair amount of talk about that this week. And hopefully some talk about mental health and reaching out for help if you feel the need, and trying to make those important connections to people that in your personal life, your professional life, that can truly be a lifeline to you if everything seems a little too much. All right, let's talk about our second story today. We get TGL. TGL's coming, and it's coming on Tuesday. And we're going to have the Bay and New York Golf Club together opening the season. I do find it kind of interesting that neither Tiger Woods nor Rory McIlroy are playing in the opening night. Obviously, that was by design. That was a choice that they made so that they didn't put themselves front and center in this new league. They wanted to highlight all the other superstars playing, and then I guess build off of that after that first week. I think this first week is going to be a degree of curiosity from a lot of people who tune in. They want to know what the heck this is, not only in terms of gameplay and team golf, but really, what does SoFi Center look like? How is the experience going to flow from the screen golf component, right? From all the shots outside 50 yards until you get to the chipping, putting, sand play, and then your putting component of it. I think people are going to be really impressed by the short game component of it, the in-person, so to speak. I'm also interested to see how good of a job TGL and ESPN presenting it can bring to life, so to speak, the 15 holes that they pick for this first match, because they have 30 holes in the repertoire, right, between Augustin Pisa and Jack Nicklaus Design. Even though it wasn't Jack, it's Nicklaus Design's firm. They made 30 holes, right? And some of them are wacky and outlandish because there's nothing to stop you in the virtual world from doing whatever you want. And some look a little bit more traditional. And we'll see how those play off of one another. We'll see what kind of strategies develop. I am kind of curious how they will select holes moving forward, because let's say one of them, one of the 15 they picked turns out to be a fan favorite, and it's really interesting. Will they play out a hole every time? Will there be recurring holes? How often will we get repeats? What's that all going to look like? Will people start to identify, almost kind of, I'm thinking about it like in terms of The Price is Right. Like when the Yodeler game comes on, you get kind of excited, or when Plinko comes on, like, you know what the game is, you know the strategy, you know what's going to happen. It's really fun. And then every once in a while they bring out Rainbow Road, which is like really hard, but a long game, but it's also really fun because the prize is like an RV at the end. You know, you build a familiarity with the games if you watch The Price is Right. Will we build familiarity with the holes on TGL, or will they not want that to happen? Very interested to see that component of it. And then just kind of see how the three-person alternate shot works, because realistically, if you're playing in this event, you're playing two holes of the individual match play each, right? That's on the back end, the last six holes. First nine holes is alternate shot with three people in it. So if you're, let's just call it a par 36, just for the sake of argument. Well, if you're a couple under par, you know, you shoot 30, let's say, every player is hitting 10 shots in nine holes. I mean, you're really there to hit no more than 20 golf shots. And most of those shots are going to be into the simulator, you assume. So I want to see how that mixture looks. I'm very excited for Claire Rogers and Roger Steele and the folks that are a little bit younger who maybe don't have as much television experience who get to be a part of this. I hope they do a great job. I assume that they will. I think it's going to do pretty well. But then just like any other sports league, you're going to have to live through week two. And if you've ever watched the XFL or any kind of, I mean, think about any new league that's trying to kind of make it. Week one is the curiosity week. What is it? How does it go? And then if you lose less than half people that watch the first weekend of the next week, you did a great job. So what does that number look like? Are we going to have, you know, 2 million people watch TGL week one and 1.2 million watch week two? Are you going to have Tiger and Rory be part of subsequent weeks after that to try to hold on to that audience a little bit longer? That's a little bit of a strategy, probably. I don't know. I'm very interested in this. And then I kind of want to see what the crowd's like. I want to see if they get rowdy. Is there much talk? Is there music? Like, how, what does that vibe feel like? Because if you've ever played simulator golf or been to like a simulator club, you can get two very different experiences. You can get one where it's like there's music thumping and it's kind of like a club, but you're really just playing golf and you're hanging with your buddies and a little bit more like Top Golf, I suppose. And they're bringing food and beers and it's just kind of, the golf is part of it, but it's not. Or is it going to be real serious? There's quiet and you got to be silent when they're putting in person and all of this stuff. I don't think it's going to be that. I think this is intended to be fun. I think this is intended to be broadcast to be fun. Not too serious, but serious enough. We don't know what the prize money is. I mean, they haven't talked about that. We don't really inject that into this. This is meant to kind of be a better staffed version of World Team Tennis, which I like watching. World Team Tennis is fun to watch. Different spin on playing tennis competitions with team-based matches and stuff. And they have point systems. And it's interesting, but the best players don't typically play. You're getting pretty much the best players you can get competing in what this is, with TGL. And you get it over the space of just a couple of months, you know, 3 months basically, and then you're into major season and all that's done and done. So very interested to see that. And I think you probably are too. So we'll talk about that on Wednesday, kind of reactions to everything and just kind of see how it went. And fingers are crossed. I'm rooting for this. I'm rooting for this concept. I like it. I like what we air on GNN TV with Golf Zone Tour. I think there's going to be more opportunities to show golf competitions that aren't just 18-hole stroke play golf. They can be in simulators. They can be putting leagues. They could be all kinds of different stuff. So hopefully this kind of pushes golf in a bigger direction, wider direction than we've broadcast in the past. All right, let's end everything up today with what I found to be a freakish statistic. So Taylor Pendrith made the first albatross, and it's albatross, it's not double eagle, in the history of the century on Sunday. I think it was 203 yards, he said, hit a six iron, landed short, spun nice, went in the cup. right? They got somewhat grainy footage of it from the PGA Tour live cameras. So they had footage of it. You could see it. Awesome. Hey, right. That's great. And it was good for Pendrith. Had a really nice week. Debut week in the century. Capped it off with an albatross. That's great. What I found absolutely insane was after the fact, because he talked about it, because he made it 2 on a par 5. You usually get a little news conference for that. And he was doing the flash area. And he said, oh, yeah, this was my eighth albatross. Eight. He has eight of them. First in competition, he said. Now, I understand Taylor Pendrith hits the ball a long way, right? Like, so maybe when he was a little bit younger and before he ever got to the PGA Tour, just playing for fun. And you could bang at 330. You play a par 5 that's 480 for some reason. Cut the corner, wedge in, make it two. I mean, that's probably how a lot of it happened. But that he has more than like two is incredible. It is mind-blowing to me because he has five more albatrosses now than he does holes in one. He's got eight albatrosses, three holes in one. That's crazy too. I've never heard of anybody who has more albatrosses than holes in one. I have neither, so I have nothing to talk about, no experience here. But that he has eight albatrosses compared to three holes in one, I think is pretty telling. And that's probably because he has a wedge in hand, a lot when playing kind of recreational, playing for fun on a par five. Still, I thought that was a freakish thing to hear. Pretty wild. I would love to have either. I would take an albatross. I'd take a hole in one. There's such a thing as a condor, which is a hole in one on a par five, or I guess a one on a par or par two on a par six. So those things are out there to go chase. But you really cannot appreciate how good these guys are until they start kind of telling you some of the statistics of how they would play golf normally. If we just went out and played for fun, you know, with no money on the line on a normal golf course and nobody watching, how much better they are than us. It's incredible. All right, that's going to do it for us today on the show. Thank you so much for spending some time with me. Appreciate it. Back tomorrow with another show going live throughout the course of the week. You can watch us on GNN TV. You can find us at golfnewsnet.com. You can find us on Free Live Sports, Freecast, and you're going to be able to find us on Zeem, Local Now, the GNN apps for Roku and Amazon Fire, and Apple TV. I know I'm forgetting some others, Multi-TV as well. So we've got more coming for you. More distribution of GNN TV in 2025 very shortly. And then also next week, well, really the end of this week, we're going to be in the Bahamas. We're going to film the first couple of episodes of The Road to French Lick Season 2, chronicling the Korn Ferry Tour Season 2025. We're going to play in the Pro-Am for the Bahamas Classic at Atlantis. So we're going to be there Friday, Saturday, and into Sunday morning. So we should have some cool content for you. Maybe even go live from there. But we'll have some stuff related to that after this weekend. Thanks again for watching. Appreciate it once again. If you catch us as a show on the live stream on social media, appreciate the follow, whatever platform you're watching us on. If you're listening as an audio podcast, thanks as always for your support. And if you're catching us on GNN TV, we'll see you tomorrow. Thanks so much for watching.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.